For many people in the world, harvest is about... A good harvest means eating, and a bad harvest means not eating. A good harvest means having the money to buy medicine, and a bad harvest means not. A good harvest can mean being able to send your children to school so they don't have to live the life you're living, and a bad harvest means, sorry, they can't go to school. It means life or death. And that's why when Jesus told this story about harvest, it was critical. It wasn't an added extra. The harvest meant whether your community survived the next year. So whether it was a good one or a bad one mattered. And so the sower was an important person. The reaper was an important person. And because of that, it got mixed... Well, there are probably other things as well, but the idea that harvest is linked to judgment in a Jewish mind. It's about life or death. So there are some parts of this passage that you can flip over to other bits of Matthew and the parable of the sheep and the goats. There are some bits in this passage which are as stark as that. Life or death. So I want to talk under three headings. Good Baptist sermon. Three headings. I want to talk about the seed. I want to talk about growing. And I want to talk about producing a crop. As you read the three versions of the parable of the sower, I don't know, if I could draw a nice picture, there's the one way of telling this story, which comes out as, you know, God is the sower, he sows the seed of the word of God, and we are the soil, and the, you know, the seed of the word of God lands on us, and a lovely plant grows. Okay. But in a number of ways, when Jesus explains the parable, and this comes through in the different accounts, he sort of changes. It's not you are the soil, you are the seed. Yeah? Did you pick that up? And if you go back and read it carefully, because he said... the one who received the seed and fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life choke it and make unfaithful. So that sounds like you're the soil. But the one who received the seed that fell on the soil is the man who hears the word of the God and understands it. So there he's, the seed and the man are put together. So it's not the seed there and the soil, it's the seed and the man. Hence the title that I gave this, I'm a seed, let me out of here. And I think irrespective of discussions you can have around that interpretation, there is a ring of truth in it, in that when the seed of God, God's word, comes and we as believers accept it, it becomes part of us, doesn't it? We become the word of God to those around us. We become the people who are scattered, be it during the week or over a lifetime across the world. We become the word of God for our communities, for our workplaces. So, you are the seed. What do we know about seeds? Well, we know about a seed that it has the potential for growth. It has everything you need to produce a plant. Yeah? We also know that certainly the way the Jewish people thought about it, and through the way that Jesus used parables, that the seed was seen as something that was alive. But actually, to produce fruit, to grow, it had to do something. It had to die. You are the seed, you are the Word of God. You have to die. And the seed in the story, does it stay in the sack? No. That's not where seed's supposed to be. The whole point of seed is reproduction. I'm a botanist, trust me. Yeah? A cucumber is lovely, isn't it? But it's no good. It's got no seed. It may be nice for us to eat, but does the cucumber plant no good whatsoever? Bananas, the same. Yeah? We've manipulated nature, choose the ones that are nice for us. But actually, a banana is no good to the banana plant. It's not going to result in another banana tree. Palm, sorry. Okay. But anyway, in the scattering, there's scattering that happens by choice, isn't there? We've commissioned Roshni. Roshni was approached, and Roshni chose to take on the role of being a deacon. There are count me in slips. You can choose to tick the box, hand it in, and join in a work of service. So there are some ways in which scattering happens, we choose. But there are other ways of scattering where we haven't got any choice. If you are an asylum seeker and you're a Christian, you are scattered. Yes? But you probably didn't have very much say in it. You had to leave. Yep. And this scattering, it's a risky business. As the sower sows the seed, he doesn't do what Fison's PLC would do. He hasn't coated the seed with nice antifungals. He hasn't spent millions of pounds getting this field just right, with all nice straight furrows. He hasn't selected the seed so that it's all absolutely spot on, you know, A grade seed. He's just taken the seed and scattered it. And that's a bit like us. All shapes and sizes, all sorts of backgrounds, and God says, grow. So, growing. What do we need to grow? Well, a seed, I don't have a glamorous assistant, and the whiteboard's disappeared, but if you can remember what was on it, okay. A seed needs an environment which provides what it needs for growth. So it needs sunlight. And yes, as a Christian, we need the sun in our life. We won't grow without him. We also need water and nutrients. And if we don't get these, like a seed that is sat there, it may start growing, but it needs to find water pretty quick, or else it's just going to die. What are these for us? We had the participate a bit earlier. The Bible, fellowship, talking, praying with other Christians, spending time with God. Spiritually, these are the things. Socially, in order for us to grow, we need to interact with other people. And a church is a good place for that to happen. I do all sorts of things in my work which I first did as a young person in church. Yeah? I do all sorts of things in the community where I cut my teeth doing it in church. This is a wonderful place to grow and to learn. and to make mistakes. Because one would hope here is the place where someone is going to be there to pick you up. Yes? Here should be the place where if we see a brother or a sister fall, we will pick them up. But there's also, there's this element of choice, I think, for us. We need to decide to grow. The Bible can stay on your shelf at home, or you can pick it up and read it. Your choice. There was a slide, which I suspect will be on the final slides, talking about a discipleship health check, I noticed. So hopefully it'll be at the end, so you'll be able to see it and see the reference. But with our reorganisation of teams and leadership within Penrhaelt, we've thought of that discipleship is an important aspect and something we may have neglected in the past. So we're thinking about, you know, doing a spiritual health check. How do we grow? Are we growing? And there is this thing. I used to going on the train down to Cardiff, and there's a place just south of Shrewsbury, or just north of Shrewsbury, where arable fields. So there's some nice wheat growing, but the field isn't quite level. There's a little dip. And it's very heavy soil, so that it collects water. And you can see, as you look over the field, a lovely flat plain of the wheat growing. And then there's the short bit, where it's got waterlogged. You can get too much water, if you're a plant. And I think as a Christian, you can get too much being with other Christians. It is possible. So I go back to the sown seed. We need to be out there as well as in here. We need to be where God would have us so that we grow. Because there are challenges out there that we maybe won't see here. Ways in which we can grow if we are out there that we won't grow if we stay in here all nice and cuddly and warm. Also, the thing about growing, and I spent years studying this, so I'll try not to get carried away, but you know the difference between a plant that is one seed, like maybe a wheat plant or a flower, an annual, yeah? You plant it, and it grows, and it's dependent on the soil that it can get to with its roots. There are other plants like clover or some grasses, where what do? They grow, and they put down some roots, and they grow another bit, and they put down some roots, and they grow another bit. Like strawberries, yeah? You have those runners. Okay, they do that because it's an inherent problem with soil, is it's patchy. It might be nice and watery over there, and the food that you need to grow is over there. Well, if you're there, you'll have the water but not the food, and if you're there, you'll have the food but not the water. So they spread out. And I think as Christians, we need to think, where am I getting the food from? Am I getting too much here? Are there other parts of my life that need growing? We can get stuck where we are. We need to think about other ways where God might be saying, there's food over there. So there might be a new ministry that you could do. There might be a new friendship you can make, which is part of what God is saying, here's how I'm feeding you. Anyway, so we're growing. Why are we growing? For our own satisfaction? To feel better than I did yesterday? No. We're growing to produce fruit. That's why God is growing us. He loves us. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to be fruitful. So how does this happen? Well, in the explanations that Jesus gives in the three Gospels, in Matthew, it's really rather simple. He says, here's the word of God, understands it, and produces a crop. In Mark, he says, here's the word and accepts it, and produces a crop. And in Luke, he says, it's the noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, we can talk for hours about why those three versions are different. I don't intend to. But to take the expanded version, if you like, of Luke, we need to... all three things. We need to understand what it means to be a Christian, understand the Bible, understand the relationship. There is a bit of a head knowledge. We also have to accept it. There's some will involved, you know. Our heart's got to be in it. And then we need to retain it. We need to persevere. We need to keep going. Because just as I talked about being patchy fields, well, actually, the water may be here today, but it's not going to rain for the next 3 weeks. As we sang, Blessed Be Your Name, when the sun's shining down on me, that's wonderful, but when I'm found in the desert place, it's going to be hard. We need to persevere. If you want to learn about perseverance, look at plants. This is the botanist speaking. There's a wonderful pine tree in the churchyard near me, just down the bottom of Bangor. It grows up, and then it goes... For those who are listening to this, that's a funny noise to make. It grows up, it takes a right angle to one way, and then it keeps going up. How did that happen? Well, maybe there was a frost, and the bud on the end, the growing point on the top of the tree, died. So there was no growth going to happen there. So what happened? The next bud down takes over, and it grows. And it keeps going towards the sky. If you go along the seaside, along the cliff, we've all seen those wind-blown trees, which are, you know, almost at 45 degrees. They can't quite manage to grow up. They're in very difficult conditions, but they will keep growing. Give them water, give them nutrient, give them light, they will keep growing. So, persevere. And then this thought about fruitfulness. What does fruitfulness mean? What does the crop look like? And I talked earlier about this wheat field that I was hoping you can imagine, where it's a lovely flat expanse. Have you seen the pictures of the prairies where they're growing sweet corn? You know, and it's 8 foot tall, but it's 8 foot tall for mile upon mile upon mile upon mile. Is that fruitfulness? Well, yes. But I don't think it's a particularly helpful vision of what fruitfulness means in terms of the Bible, in terms of our lives. Are we all the same shape, colour? Are we? No. Do we all ripen at the same time? No. Those are really good things when you want to combine harvester to harvest everything in one go. And then you want to bag it up and sell it. Because unripe stuff you have to throw away, overripe stuff you have to throw away. We've engineered that. Don't bring that version of fruitfulness to this parable. It's September. Well, it was September. And I love doing one thing in September. And that's going out and picking blackberries. And if you've ever gone and picked blackberries, you will know that there's the stem comes out straight, and there's usually one blackberry right on the end, and then around it, going back maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 leaves, there's other stems that did have flowers on that now have blackberries on. Or sometimes you go back a bit further, there's a sub-stem which has its own set of 3 or 4 blackberries. Okay? Now looking at that, early on, it's the one on the end that's ripe. That's the one that's lovely. And quite often I eat that one. The next one is actually the one on the end of the side shoot that's about 6 inches back. That's going to be the next ripest. And as you look hard, you'll find, oh, well, actually I've come late to this one. And there's one that's overripe and it's gone mouldy. And if I know if I pick that up, I'm going to get purple fingers. There's one that is still red and really hard and won't actually come off. We're a bit like that, aren't we? We all ripen at different times. Different gifts are coming to fruition different times. And we need to accept that and work with it. Not say, I want everybody to look the same. That's a challenge to us. It's a challenge when we have our own idea of what being a Christian should be and someone else is different. It's a challenge as a church, because how do we say, we want you all to grow, but we want you all to grow slightly differently. So I don't want you, I mean, it's wonderful Paul is able to say, be like me. Well, actually, I don't want you to be like me. Accept that. I follow Jesus. If you follow me in that, I'll be with you 100% of the way. If you decide you want some of my quirks, then I will definitely say, no way, you don't want those. We don't want uniform Christians. We want that variety. And we want to support each other to get that variety. So, I brought some things here. Tesco sweet gala apples. Wonderful things. And then it says 6 fruit, 65 to 70 millimetres. Right? These have been through a sieve. A big sieve, but a sieve. And then they've all been bagged up, so they're all the same size and shape. Right? So. I want to pass these around. Sorry, those up in the balcony, you won't get them. But then, I've got this... Adrian has an apple tree. And she brings bags of apples. And I've already made several apple crumbles for this, so the big ones have gone. But I'm still left with the little ones. Is that less fruitful? That's a fruit, isn't it? If I break it up and take the seed out and plant the seed, well, providing it's a version of apple which is produces viable seed, it will grow. It's as fruitful as the big one. So in our fruitfulness, are we thinking it's size that matters? Are we thinking that it's quality? Are you an A-grade fruit? Are we thinking and comparing ourselves with each other? I've got to go through the same sieve as them. No. God sees your fruitfulness. The fruitfulness you have right here and now. And he's over the moon about it. He loves you because of it. And he sees it and he values it. So please, grow some more. Whoops. So, can I have 2 helpers, please, just to distribute these apples, just to think about it, please. Go on. Take those and distribute. And just think about it. What makes a good fruit? Okay? I wouldn't eat the green ones. They are good for crumble. They are not... They're a bit sour. Okay. But they are equally fruitful. So in other areas, what does fruitfulness look like? In the video, the DVD, we saw two people from the church in Cusco. One almost there, yes? But still, I detected thinking that he needed to change himself before he could accept Jesus. Am I right? Did I pick that up right? Did you understand that? He was saying, I've got to change bits of me. I haven't accepted Jesus, but I will. He almost said, I will. Here's a church where I think I can. Right? And then there was Mercedes. Sorry, it sounds different in Spanish, I'm sure. but she'd obviously taken that step, and she was seeing God's fruitfulness in her life. That's what the fruit can look like at an individual level. I would have to say the man is wrong. He doesn't need to change before accepting Jesus. You accept Jesus, you come as you are, but you won't stay as you were. Warning. Come as you are, but you will not stay as you were. And then there are other sorts of fruitfulness. I've got another 2 minutes, so I'll just run through some of these. Street pastors. That's a sort of fruitfulness. Did you know that the police in Bangor say that Friday night is actually a lot nicer now than it was a year ago, out on the streets in Bangor? Yeah? And actually, they'd like the street pastors there on Thursday night as well. And then Saturday night. Right? That's fruitfulness. And a quick plug, a street pastor is someone who is an ordinary person, an ordinary Christian, going out in groups of four, having been trained, having been given the support that they need to do the job. And there are some of us who sit there and pray whilst you're out there. It's something that I would say that could be a new ministry for you. Think about it. Go check it up on the website. Talk to Magnus here. They're looking.
We're recruiting this week.
We're recruiting this week. Yes, it's all right. I read my emails. Okay. So street pastors. On the radio this morning, this is sort of political. David Cameron, in his speech at the Conservative Party conference, said, we need to be like Withenshaw. You know, great things happening in Withenshaw. The local community is getting together and making things happen. And whilst, you know, there's not going to be bucket loads of public money, we can at least give support. Well, Sunday morning programme, went to Withenshaw and said, what's going on? It's St Andrew's Methodist Church that churned their old building into a gym. It's completely self-financing, but in that council estate of 70,000 people, they are having an effect. That's fruit. We have Alpha that started last week. It's going on this week. It's still not too late to join, I'm sure. If you want to go back and think about growing, Alpha's a good place to go and find out, what do I need to grow? If you want to wonder about, what's this seed which is the Word of God? Alpha's a good place to go and find out about that. But what we also see is people who were on Alpha last year coming back and helping to do Alpha this year, and the next year coming back and maybe leading a group. See the growth? See the development? See the God blessing and providing fruit, producing fruit? I've got a definition of fruitfulness, and I think it's intentionally doing something to spread God's love or God's word to others. That's fruitfulness. It's got an intentionality. It doesn't matter what you're doing, is there a reason behind it? So, as I try to wrap up, three sections, three home messages. One, have you received the word? Do you need to receive the word? Penrith is a place where you can ask those questions. How are you growing? Is it tough at the moment? Is it perseverance? Is that where you're at? God's with you. He's with you right here and now. And be fruitful and think about what sort of fruit does God want me to produce? Be imaginative, be creative. God of the universe doesn't make us all the same shape and size. And just to finish, because I'm sure it's easy for these challenges to come up and for us to feel inadequate. This is kindly provided by Andrew, and I picked it up at one of the sanctuary services that we have. I came in the morning and you were already there, but you did not chide me. I put my hand in yours, but after a while I let go, and you did not chide me. I recognized my fault and tried harder, but I forgot to ask you the way, and you did not chide me. Still, your welcome is there. This errant child finds open arms, but still you do not chide me. I want to try again. Will you walk with me? Let's pray. Words from Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me out and know me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You know where I am now. Thank you for that knowledge. Lord, I want to know where I fit into your plan. I want to know what you want me to do. Help us to follow, Lord. Help us to give our lives in the service of your kingdom. And as we go out this week, scattered like the seed from the sack, throughout different places, different communities, in our families, in our workplaces, in our leisure activities. Lord, make us your salt, your light, make us your people, your word to our area. And Lord, through our prayers, change things, please. Not just here in Mbanga and the surrounding area, but over the whole world, your world. In the Sacred Valley in Peru. In the jail in Iran. In many, many places, Lord. Change this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.